Now, we're going to tell a story this week from the Bible. I told you it was to do with someone who couldn't hear, and it's to do with speaking as well. They couldn't speak, this person, either. There's a word for someone who can't speak. In some Bibles, it's called mute. They're mute. It means, like, there's no sound comes out. And in this case, this man did speak a little bit, but it was a bit garbled, a bit like when the microphone was on before with the weather reporter, and you couldn't quite hear what it was. It was hard for him to speak. Spoke with a bit of a stutter, it was. That's what it means in the story we're going to read. And another word that was used for it, and it's used in the Good News Bible, which is what we're reading from today, is dumb, because they used to say deaf and dumb, didn't they? But it doesn't mean silly or stupid or anything. It just means they couldn't speak. That's what it meant as well. So deaf and dumb meant they couldn't hear and they couldn't speak properly. And so this is the story in Mark chapter 7. We've been following Mark's gospel, as you know, and we're up to Mark chapter 7. And this is the story in there. It says this: Jesus then left the neighborhood of Tyre and went on through Sidon to Lake Galilee, going by way of the territory of the ten towns. That was also known as the Decapolis. I'm going to explain that a little bit more to the adults in a little while, because that's significant, what has just been read there. Some people brought him a man who was deaf and could hardly speak, and they begged Jesus to place his hands on him. So Jesus took him off alone, away from the crowd of people, and he put his fingers in the man's ears. Matt, where's Matt gone? Matt, can you come up to the front again, please? Okay. Matt, I'd like you to be the deaf and dumb man, okay? Come and stand over here a minute. Yeah. Matt, come and stand over here, please.
Sorry, you said I was deaf and dumb. Right?
Good. He's a good actor. Okay, Matt, I'd like you to be the deaf and dumb man. So as I read, can you just come a bit closer to me, then I can read here. Right, here we go. Not that close, brother. Right, so Jesus took him off alone, away from the crowd, and he put his fingers in the man's ears. Like that. That's what Jesus did to the man with his ears. Why do you think he put his fingers in the man's ears? Why did he do that? Yes. That's what he was doing. He was making him hear again. Why do you think he put his fingers... Why do you think he had to put his hands in his ears to do that, though? What do you think? Yeah? Great answer, because normally Jesus touched people to make them better, and so he was touching the man to make him better in his ears. That is exactly the right answer. There was a lot of people went around doing little healings at that time, and faith healers and people like that, and they used to touch people as well. This was something that was done, so people would recognize what Jesus was doing. Plus the fact, if you noticed, they begged Jesus to put his hands on the man. Didn't they? That's what they'd asked Jesus to do, because that's what they understood he would do. They didn't say, can you just pray for him at a distance? They said, can you put your hands on him? So Jesus was doing something that they would understand that was a deliberate act. In fact, he was doing it particularly for the man there. And the man couldn't hear what was going on. And so Jesus, he's pointing out to him, this is what I'm now going to do. I'm going to heal your ears. The man would recognize this was a healing miracle. He's doing what they've asked him to do by laying hands on the man. So this is the explanation we understand for why Jesus did that. I don't necessarily think he kind of dug his fingers in and squirreled them around and brought them back out again and anything like that. I think it was just healing. So he puts his fingers in the man's ears. And then Jesus spat. He spat. Why do you think Jesus did that? Yes? To see if he could hear it. I like that. To see if he could hear it. That's a good answer. Have any of you ever thought of that one? I'll bet not. There you go. Yes? to make his mouth a little bit wetter, because the man couldn't speak either. So maybe he was trying to make the man's tongue a little bit wetter, because we need some moisture in there, don't we, to be able to speak properly. True. Could have been. Hey, how do you know it wasn't that? Okay, what was the answer then? Why did Jesus spit? All the children have got the answers. What do you think? On his tongue so he could speak. That's what he was going to do. And that's exactly what he did. He spat and he touched the man's tongue. So again, we get this touching. It doesn't actually explain... It doesn't actually explain why he did the spit, but it does say he did it. And he touched the man's tongue. Put your tongue out. Put your tongue out, Matt. That's what Jesus did. And let's see what happened. Do you think the man would be able to speak now after that? Do you think he'd be able to hear after that? We're going to find out. So Jesus spat and he touched the man's tongue. Then Jesus looked up to heaven. He's not healed yet. Jesus looked up to heaven. Why do you think he looked up to heaven? Why do you think he did that? That's easy. Why? Because he's going to talk to God, his Father, yeah. And so we think of God as being somewhere up there, don't we? God's everywhere, really. But we kind of do look up in the heavens to think of God. It helps us to visualize in some way. And people would know, Jesus knew that God was everywhere, his Father was everywhere. But he kind of wanted people to know that's what he was doing. I'm praying to my Father. So he looks up to heaven and he gave a deep groan. Oh...
That wasn't a deep groan.
Oh! Why did he give a deep groan? Why did he give a deep groan? Anyone get it? Yes? To get God's attention. It might have been get God's attention. I don't know. Yes? To pray to his Father to help him. He was praying to his Father to help him. You know, again, we don't know why it was. Maybe it was resignation to the fact that he was having to do this healing at this time. I'll come to that in a moment for the adults, why I'm saying that. But also, he was indicating this was a prayer. Maybe there was a spiritual battle going on in that prayer at that time, in that place. Remember where he is. I'll come back to that in a moment for the adults. But he's looking to the source of the power above for this healing. And so he gives this deep groan and he says to the man, Ephphatha, Ephphatha. That's what he said to the man, which means open up. What was Jesus opening up? Yeah? Open up his mouth. Anything else? He was opening up, yes? His ears as well, that's right. His mouth and his ears, he was opening them up. At once, the man was able to hear and his speech impediment was removed and he began to talk without any trouble. Let's look at that word again, Dan. If we can look at that word, Ephphatha. Oh, I'll ask you how it's spelt later. Okay, so we go on. At once, the man was able to hear his speech, and his speech impediment was removed, and he began to talk without any trouble. Then Jesus ordered the people not to speak to anyone about it. But the more he ordered them not to, the more they spoke, and all who heard were completely amazed. Why do you think Jesus told people not to talk about it? Why did he tell them not to go and say anything to anyone? Yes? Because more people might come and ask for help. Do you know? That is partly right. Because Jesus had gone here for a rest. He'd gone here to have a break from the crowds. That's one of the reasons he'd gone there. So it could be that it would just bring lots of other people. That is true. That's one of the reasons. I'll come back to that again in a second. Any other reasons? Yes? Maybe Okay, maybe they didn't want him to tell people because some people might not like Jesus, and if he went and told them about it, they may not like him. That's actually quite true as well, because they didn't all understand who Jesus was at this point. Some of them just thought he was a man who did some miracles. They didn't really understand the full implications of who Jesus was, and they wouldn't yet do. And thirdly, as well as that, it wasn't their time. He was in a Gentile community, and the Jews were to be given the first opportunity to respond. So he didn't want the news spreading too widely in that place at that time. Going to come back to that just for you adults in a moment. But then all who heard him were completely amazed. How well he does everything, they exclaimed. He even causes the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. That is our story today about Jesus healing a deaf and dumb man. And the thing is, although Jesus said not to go and tell anyone at that point, what I want you all to remember, children, is this, okay? Is this. Jesus didn't want them to say at that point, but later on in Mark's gospel, this is in Mark chapter 7, by the time we get to Mark chapter 16, this is what Jesus says. He says to everyone, go and tell. Go and tell what I've done. Go and talk about the good things that I've done. And go and talk about who I am and that I love everybody. Let the whole world know about me. So then was the time. So that means now is the time that we can talk about it. Now, who's got a mouth here? Yeah, we've all got mouths. So, and if we can speak, then we can go and tell other people about Jesus and how amazing he is. And we can say, like it says here, how well he does everything. He even causes the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And Jesus wants us to share that news with everybody. And that's what I want you to remember about this story. But right now, to help you remember that, we always do a craft at Club Central, don't we? So we're going to do a craft. And we thought we'd let the adults join in with it as well, because we're nice like that. So the adults are going to get to do this craft as well, but you have to do two things at once. You have to listen to me giving you a little bit more explanation about this passage while you get your craft. So if you can't do two things at once, men, then you just need to just pay attention to me and you can do your craft afterwards, all right? But if you can do both, you can. Right, so, and while that's going on, can you still listen to me? Okay, so I just want to give you guys a little bit more explanation with this passage, because it's actually really interesting what was going on here as well. So I'm going to talk over the kids and hopefully you'll hear me. At the beginning, Mark explains about how they went through the neighborhood of Tyre and Sidon and down to Lake Galilee and then through the territory of the 10 towns, the Decapolis. Jesus is doing a bit of a zigzag here and he's moving around, but he was moving into Gentile territory during this time. And this whole passage in Mark chapter 7, there's some interesting things going on. If I go back to Mark chapter 7, verse 24, this is the story of the woman's faith, the Syrophoenician woman. It says this, then Jesus left and went away to the territory near the city of Tyre. He went into a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. He didn't want anyone to know he was in that town, but he could not stay hidden. So Jesus was trying to hide away in this town of Sidon. A woman whose daughter had an evil spirit in her heard about Jesus and came to him at once and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Gentile born in the region of Phoenicia in Syria. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter, but Jesus answered, "Let us first feed the children. It isn't right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Some of you have heard this story before, and there's some significance in that for our passage as well. The significance of Tyre, Sidon and the 10 towns of Decapolis is the Gentile, not Jewish, territory. And Jesus was looking to retreat here to get away from the crowds. He wasn't intending to do any miracles at all. He had no intention of doing miracles in this place. He was trying to keep his presence a secret, and that's why he told the Syrophoenician woman, no, it isn't time for you yet, it's time for the Jews first, and then the message is going to be preached to the Gentiles. But he was looking for some peace and quiet and to hide away. This would explain his initial reluctance to heal the deaf and dumb man. Remember what they did when they brought the deaf and dumb man to Jesus? It says they begged him. Why would Jesus need begging? We always think of Jesus being very willing to heal, don't we, straight away? Yes? But it says they begged Jesus to heal the man. So there's obviously some reluctance on Jesus' part to do the miracle at this point. It would also explain why he took the man aside. Why did he take the man aside? He took him aside because he didn't want to make a spectacle. He didn't want this to be a magic show. He didn't want to just do tricks for people. He wanted to take the man aside and heal him quietly in a quiet place. And it also explains why he then told him, don't go and tell everyone about this. Because he didn't want the news to spread out. He didn't want the crowds coming to him. The children have got great answers here, you know. Very insightful. He didn't want the crowds swamping him. Remember, he's trying to retreat. He didn't want everyone to think he's just a miracle worker because they hadn't grasped fully yet who he was. And it was going to be difficult for them this side of the cross to do that. When he died and been resurrected, he was happy for the news to be shared, but he didn't want it just to go down as a miracle worker. He wanted people to understand the significance of who he was as well. And thirdly, it was the whole thing to do with the Jews. This was for the Jews first and then for the Gentiles. And he didn't want all the Gentiles responding to him before the Jews had had a chance to experience him and see the signs and wonders that he did. So why did Jesus heal the man then? At this stage, they were just seeing this man who could do miracles. They didn't have the content and meaning of it. But Jesus wanted to open their ears to who he really was, the Messiah, and to open their hearts to God. Why did he heal the man at this point? I think he was just responding out of pure compassion. Because Jesus is love, isn't he? And he's compassionate and caring. And he saw their heart and he saw their faith and he wanted to respond because he's just a God of love. And their persistence got to Jesus' heart and he responded to it and healed the man. The same as the faith of the Syrophoenician woman, Jesus responded to that. And does Jesus not in the parables teach us about persistence in prayer? And I know that doesn't always mean they get answered. And I know not everyone always gets healed, for example, when we pray for that. And we don't always get everything that we want when we pray persistently. And this sermon today isn't about that, about why sometimes it doesn't happen. But there is a message here about persistence and Jesus' compassion on people when they were persistent in that way. But it was more than that. And this is the final bit I want you to understand today. This was very prophetic. What Jesus did here was very prophetic. First of all, it was prophetic fulfillment. Mark clearly sees this as prophetic Old Testament fulfillment pointing to Jesus as the awaited Messiah. And the links with Isaiah 35 are very, very clear in this passage. Isaiah 35, verse 5 and 6 says, then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. And that whole Isaiah 35 is prophetic about Jesus coming again. And here he was fulfilling these things in that place. And in the next chapter, he fulfills more of those things as well. He is now fulfilling these things. It's a prophetic thing. He's using the same word. Mark uses the same word to describe the man's speech condition in verse 32 of this passage that's only found twice in the whole Greek Bible. The whole Old Testament and New Testament, this word's only found twice. It's found in Isaiah 35, the one I've just quoted from, and Mark chapter 7. That's the only place there's a direct link between the two. And Mark is clearly seeing the Isaiah passage as relating to Jesus, that this is the Messiah. And it takes place in the same area, Sidon. The area of Sidon was the same place as where Lebanon is today. And Isaiah 35 shows that this is the same area that that was taking place in. And the crowd reacts in the same way. So it's clearly prophetic fulfillment that Mark's showing us that. But it's also prophetic foretelling. Because Mark's just described Jesus' criticism of the strict Jews' distinctions between clean and unclean. In Mark chapter 7, the chapter we're reading, there's a lot about the unclean and the clean, and Jesus is teaching on this stuff. And he's saying about how they're always saying that these things are clean and these things are unclean. And the Jews consider the Gentiles unclean. And yet, immediately afterwards, Jesus goes into Gentile territory and starts responding to Gentiles as if declaring that they are going to be clean as well. They are acceptable to Jesus as well. And of course, it wasn't the time yet, but we know that the gospel went out into the whole world. Once the Jews had had the opportunity, it went to the whole world, and the Gentiles, the non-Jews, got the opportunity as well. So this was prophetic foretelling of what was to come. As Jesus enters this unclean area of the 10 towns and performs the miracle, it points to Jesus as the awaited Messiah who also brings salvation to the Gentiles. Now, what's the biggest irony in this whole story? And this is my application today for us all. The biggest irony in this whole story is this. They were meant to keep quiet about it then, as they only understood Jesus in part. They didn't yet have what Jesus described as eyes to see and ears to hear. He says that in chapter 8, verse 18. They weren't able to speak out the truth about him fully at this point. So that's why he wanted them to keep quiet. But now we have the full picture of the gospel. Now we, this side of the resurrection, understand the full picture. And we're meant to shout about it. We're not meant to keep quiet. We're not meant to be dumb or mute anymore. We're meant to shout and tell and declare this good news about Jesus. And these people were filled with amazement at everything Jesus was. I sometimes wonder if we lose the amazement sometimes. We talked last week about familiarization with Jesus and just getting a bit too familiar. But we're meant to be amazed by him. He is amazing, is he not?
Yes.
And we do have tongues to speak it out. We are this side. And that's why Mark finishes his gospel in 16 with, now you can go and tell them. Now go and get the news out there. We have had ears to hear the truth of the gospel. And we have got mouths and tongues to proclaim it. We are not dumb or mute. And I think the challenge for us is we maybe need sometimes just to retreat from the crowd with Jesus, let him open our eyes and ears again to see and hear, to be completely amazed fully again at Jesus and what he's done, and to declare anew how well he does everything. He even causes the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Amen.
Amen.